So I think you highlighted some really important things, because I think the first thing is always going to be communication. We need to make sure we know who's doing what, because as you can tell, there's a lot of people involved in this process. There's external counsel, internal counsel, there's people working on the merits, on discovery, all the vendors, forensic experts, paralegals. There's a lot of people involved, and we don't want to replicate efforts. We don't want to waste time. This is also generally a very hectic time of where we have a tendency in discovery to wait and wait and wait, and then we push the button, and then it's go. Because we don't want to start too early and incur the costs if we're going to settle or if other things occur. And the second that we know we're going to move forward, now it's this mad scramble of aligning these teams of people to figure out who's doing what and how. And to accomplish that, the first thing that was alluded to earlier is who's going to do what. And it's so important, if you can, to have those contracts in place, to know here's your team. Like, we have preferred vendors. So we have preferred vendors to collect data. We have preferred vendors to host and process data. We have preferred vendors to review data. And the last thing you want to do when you're in this hectic get moving mode is get into a long contract negotiation or pricing negotiation with any of these vendors to do certain things. And then the last thing I wanted to say on this is just how important process is. So for us, playbooks, handbooks that cover this entire process is incredibly important. It puts all of these parties on the same page. We go so detailed into even putting in our handbook how email subject lines should be titled for a project, because many of us are working on several different matters. And where, you know, and I'm, even for Michelle as external counsel, she might be working on several different matters for one client, and you need to be able to distinguish. You don't want someone to say process data for the CEO for the wrong case, and now you've put that data, or worse, produce data from the CEO and have that be on the wrong case. So things like naming conventions is how detailed we go in our handbooks to make sure that we know exactly who's doing what, we're doing it consistently, and we're communicating effectively.
That is super helpful. Thanks to you both. And I think, you know, that is so interesting, right? And it sort of goes back to that initial overall EDRM model of the things that are, you know, how you manage your information on the left-hand side of that model is going to directly impact what happens on the right-hand side, which is the production and presentation piece. So those naming conventions Jeff talked about, and as Stacey mentioned, sort of thinking through who's going to be doing what, who has the burden. I think that is so, so critical to your strategy. I will just note, we have a little sentence in there that says, do you trust the other side? And that's not in there to imply that any of our colleagues, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, we are all friends here in the e-discovery world. I think it's not so much a question of, oh, is the opposing side duplicitous or not telling us the truth? It's more, what sort of strategic considerations do we have in terms of who we are sharing this data with? And what is their burden vis-a-vis our reasonable burden? And how do we sort of navigate that path forward? For example, if I'm collecting data in connection with a class action, so on the other side of the aisle, I have a bunch of plaintiffs and a bunch of plaintiffs' counsel. They're probably not going to be producing a ton of stuff to me, but there's going to be a very high expectation that we will be producing a bunch of stuff to them. And what they might find valuable in our production would be very different than perhaps if on the other side of the aisle, I was facing a competitor in the same space. To pharmaceutical companies, to large industrial companies, to automobile companies suing one another, right? That's going to be very, very different. The needs and the wants of what is sort of going to be sought in discovery in a case like that could look very different. And the import of producing certain types of materials and certain types of files to a competitor, or even a potential competitor, could be very, very different. So those are the sorts of things. When we think about trust, it's not so much a question of, oh, do we think they're honest with us? It's much more about what are we sharing and what are we strategically going to be collecting and reviewing and looking at, and how do we want to strategically tailor that review in terms of what we are obligated to produce in this matter and what we are not obligated to produce in this matter. So with that, we can go on, I think, to the third slide. Why is it important? It's so important. It's so important. And I know it's not that, like, again, we're not the big trial attorneys. We don't necessarily always get to go up and make the most impassioned arguments in front of the jury. But there are very, very real consequences to